Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you all. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 13. We're coming to the end of our consideration of this parable which the Lord Jesus told. A very important parable, one that covers a very large spectrum of gospel truth. Reading from verse 27. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. I was just thinking, even as I read to you those verses, how it is set forth plainly here that the people of God, the Christians, get gospel matters wrong time and time again. There is an ignorance within us concerning eternal things, and when we do make decisions regarding eternal things, they are inevitably the wrong decision. That's why we must humbly keep low before God and ever keep his word before us to inform us, to guide us. What made me think on these things was, verse 27 reminds us that the servants of the man who owned the field had no idea where the tares had come from. They had to be told that an enemy had done this. And so it is with us. We really know very little about the things of God, the ways of God in this world, the ways of the devil in this world. We're like a little boy or a little girl that if we were to take them, pop them on a plane, and fly them all the way to a foreign land, take them out, put them in a taxi, drive them to the center of the capital of that foreign land, put them out of the taxi in the middle of the city, and leave them. How lost they would be. Can't speak the language. Never been there before. Don't know one single person in all that city. How lost they would be. To a large degree, that pictures us in this old world. It's a foreign land to you and to me as Christians. The world speaks another language altogether. And for that we praise the Lord. We're glad we don't speak the language of the world. But if we hadn't God with us, we would be destroyed in no time at all. We are as sheep among wolves. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you think that you're able to look after yourself. You're able to make up your own mind and go your own way and plan your own life. And no ill will come your way when you're in charge. That's the very opposite. The very opposite to what is true. The sheep that departs from the shepherd will soon be a victim of the wolves, and you will fare no better. But not only did they not know how these tares came to be in the field, showing their ignorance, but you'll see that when they discovered what the tares were and where they came from, they jumped to the wrong conclusion. Verse 28, an enemy hath done this. That's how the tares have come to be where they are. Then the servant said unto him, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up? That was the wise thing, as far as the servants were concerned. But it was the wrong thing, for they had to be told, No, let them grow until the harvest, alongside the wheat. That's when they'll be dealt with. I tell you again, boys and girls, you and I will always get things wrong. And if you today are sailing under your compass, following your map, and I can say, not knowing anything about what your thinking is or what your planning is, I can say, nevertheless, you're on the wrong course. Please, don't take upon yourself that which only the Lord can do, namely the planning and the guiding of that path which is good for you. Now, here's what I had planned to say. I'm getting back, as it were, to the main points that I came to deliver to you this morning. You will notice the instinct of the Christian when the devil's scheme is discovered. An enemy hath done this, we read in the verse 28. And immediately the servant said, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? That seemed the natural thing. Because these reapers, they detested tares. They loved to see the golden grain grow and mature and ripen. But they detested the tares because of what they would do. They would hinder the grain. And because of the labor and toil that they would bring to them, they were going to have to get rid of them and deal with them. Instead of, if they weren't there, it would have been a simple matter of just mowing down everything in the field and gathering it all together. But instead they had to go through the much more laborious task of separating one from the other. Life was going to be made much more difficult for them by the presence of the tares. And so their instinct was, can we get rid of them as soon as possible? Boys and girls, the presence and the activities of wicked men and women has always been a vexation to the Christian. To hear the wicked speak annoys and vexes us. To see the way the wicked behave and go about in the world, it grieves us. It grieves us. And there is that instinct in us, just like it's manifested here among the servants. Can we not get rid of these? Many a Christian, I suppose every Christian at some time or other, had said within themselves, oh, that we might be rid of the sinners in this world. The psalmist said, Psalm 144, right at the end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 144, are you looking it up? I don't want you to take my word for what it is that is found in the Bible. Never take a man's word for what the Bible says. Always check it out. 144 and verse 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Do we not concur with that? Is that not how we feel? And if you're young and you haven't yet encountered the opposition that there is out there in the world, you're sheltered within a harbour of a Christian home, a Christian church and a Christian school, but soon you'll be out of the harbour and into the rough waves of the world, and you will discover just what an evil place it is, and you will say in your heart what the psalmist here says, rid me, take them away from me. That's the desire of the people of God. But at the same time, it's clear, and it's not God's will, that we be pleased by the complete ridding of the world of sinful men and women, but that rather we must endure their presence, because of course amongst them there are those that are God's elect. I look back on my own life, there was a time I was among the sinners, and I know I must have been a vexation to many a person, and if their desire had been granted, I would have been lost. I would have been amongst the tares, as it were, that have been gathered up and destroyed. God doesn't allow us to see that desire come about, because, as I say, he has amongst the ungodly those that are his. When Saul of Tarsus was going around arresting Christians, persecuting them, even seeing them done to death, forcing them to blaspheme under torture, don't you think there were many Christians who said, oh God, get rid of this man out of the world. Oh God, help us, deliver us from the cruelty of this man. There would have been many who would have prayed that, though. There were many, too, who would have gone a little further and said, Lord, rid us of this man by saving him. And, of course, that's what God did. That's what God did. God didn't want to root up that man Saul and take him away and destroy him, because God had plans for this man, Saul. Yes, we are to be vexed by the ways of the wicked
And yes, we are to be jealous for the cause of God as we see the wicked opposing God and mocking God and despising God. That should rise the spirit of jealousy within us. Even as these servants were jealous for the sake of their master and for the sake of the wheat that was growing, knowing that the tares were hindering and opposing the well-being of the wheat. But while we should be jealous, there is a limit to which we should give way to that jealousy. Let me give you a couple of examples from the scriptures where we see men with the best of intentions and with a jealousy for the holiness of God and His truth and His witness go too far. They go too far and have to be restrained by the Lord. I'm reading in Luke chapter 9 and the verse 49. And here's John, a man known as the Apostle of Love. But love for God will always have beside it a jealousy for God. A jealousy that will rise up in anger against any who would say anything ill about God. Because you love God, you can't stand anyone saying or doing that which besmirches His character and name. And John comes to the Saviour, and he says, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us. He wasn't one of us, Lord. We don't know where he came from. And because he wasn't identified as one of us, we assumed that he wasn't one of us. He wasn't really a follower of yours. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Because he wasn't of their company, John thought he should be against this individual, not considering that what the individual was doing was good. So we must be wise in how we react to wickedness out there in the world, and to those that we perhaps think are not just quite in step with us and in our camp. Look at another passage. This is over in the Old Testament, because such a spirit is seen not just in New Testament times, but it's seen in the Old Testament. It's Numbers chapter 11. I should have given you that reference right away. Numbers chapter 11, and the verse 26 is where we begin. Verse 26, Numbers chapter 11. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. Here's again that idea. They're not with us, they're not of us. They must be wrong. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? You see, Joshua, out of a love and respect and honour of Moses, he reacted against these two men who didn't appear to be part of the entourage, the company of Moses. And so he's envious. These men are acting without the apparent authority of Moses. They can't be right. But Moses says, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. That shows the largeness of Moses' heart and the wisdom of him. Oh, he said, Don't be envious for my sake. These two are acting under the grace, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I wish all of the people of God were like that. They might appear not to be under my authority, but who cares about that? They're acting for the Lord, and I would that everyone acted like that. So you see the difference between Joshua and Moses. Joshua was jealous for the sake of Moses. And we can be jealous. We can be jealous for the sake of the Free Presbyterian Church. Oh, that person's not a Free Presbyterian. And therefore, surely they can't be right. No, what decides whether a person is right or wrong is, are they walking with God? Are they obeying the Bible? Are they doing the Lord's will?
Let us be jealous for the Lord, yes, but let us be careful not to go too far in our jealousy. We must guard God's work and God's cause and God's honor. Yes, that is our duty. And there are times we have to confront the tares. But we have to be wise in deciding when and how that's to be done. One passage in the end of the New Testament, the third epistle of John, just brings before us the sort of battles that God's servants in those days faced and which are still to be faced. John is writing, and remember, this is John, the same one that we read about there in Luke chapter 9, but he's wiser now. He's learned from the Lord. And those he opposes now are not just those who might appear to be different from him, but he's opposing those who are out of step with God. That's the difference. There may be those who carry another denominational name, but that's not grounds or reason for us to oppose them. We only oppose them if they are against God's word. Then we oppose them, no matter what name they have. Even if they're Free Presbyterians, we oppose them if they're against God's word. Listen to what we read then in the third epistle of John, the verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Here's an opponent. Here's a tear. I think we can call him that. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, an old gossip, who spread lies. So, that indicates just where he stands and who he serves. Doesn't serve God by spreading lies. He serves the author of lies, the devil. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that word. What a division there was here. This man set himself up, and he opposed John, told lies about him, and then any of the brethren, the servants of God, of the apostolic band, and associated with the apostles, when they came, he opposed them. And he wanted the people not to have anything to do with them. So, this man's a rebel. This man is against everything that is of God. He forbiddeth them that they would, and casteth them out of the church. He threw out of the church those who wanted to associate with the servants of God. Oh, there's something very badly wrong here. This is the tare working. Working against the wheat, working against the good of the people of God. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Oh yes, let us be jealous for the cause of God, the truth of God, and the honour of God. And let us oppose those who, like this evil character, Diotrephes. Let's oppose them. But let us be careful, lest we oppose others who really are for the Lord and of God, but who might just not be part of our camp. We have to make that distinction. So then, the instinct of the child of God is set out there in the response of the servant. Oh, do we go out now and tear up these evil weeds and gather them and burn them? No, no. You're not to do that. Let both grow together. We're going to have to put up with the wicked in this world. We're going to have to endure their insults, their animosity, their oppositions. We're going to have to put up with it. That's God's will. That's God's will. We'll look more at this the next time we are together. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you will give understanding to the boys and the girls. Oh, Lord, fill them with a spirit of jealousy for the Lord, but temper it, Lord, with wisdom, that they might know how to draw a line between good and evil, that they might not offend the Lord, or in their zeal do that which is wrong. Bless your word to our hearts, I pray. Pour out your spirit upon the church of God in these days. Bless our little school. Lord, we commit the children here to thee. Each one that's seated before thee now, bless them today, Lord Jesus. be pleased to save any who are not saved, to the glory of thy name. Amen. Amen.